Wyndham Hotels and Resorts makes travel possible for all. Whether it's the long haulers looking for a great cup of coffee, a roomier rest for the on a whim road trippers, or a place to make summer memories with the whole family. No matter who you are, where you're going, or why, with 24 trusted brands to choose from like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, your Wyndham is waiting. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
So what I want to do is just go through the rules of the game and make sure that they make sense where and you guys ask me questions or will clarify or think through them and make examples and say, see, does it just make sense? Trying to get in the head of the user, the recipient of this, basically. Make sense? Mm-hmm. And if I can say it to y'all and you can ask me questions, we'll know it's coherent and everybody will, you know, whatever. So in fact, we'll let them hear this conversation. So this is, in fact, a podcast. So,
okay.
Keep your, just act normal, of course, but,
Katie, but
oh my gosh, she just turned red. Katie, all I want you to do is just ask questions like you normally would until you understand this, and we'll just use you and Devin as a model of making sure we all understand the game, basically. So this is just an extra piece of media, and we'll release it somewhere, somehow. But Devin, would you do the reading part, and I'll do the explaining part, and then you both do the ask questions part, and we'll just
have
conversation through the basically the rules.
Remind me, what am I reading here exactly?
Okay, you need to pull up the document. So Katie, can you send him, let's see, if I send them this text link, he'll have
the orientation packet.
The orientation packet. Yeah. Do you have
it's in my email. Let me see if I can find it real quick.
I can text it to you.
If that's fat. I think I let's see. No, that's not it.
And then also go to the 69xchallenge.com. And would you start by reading the from that website real quickly, just if people are now hearing what this is, what is it, if you would read that, and then we'll do in the what do I have to do, and we'll talk through the game.
Okay. Okay, I'm going there. For some reason, my internet is slow.
No problem. No problem. And that's the, if everybody is listening wants to go to that website and see what all is going on there, it is 69xchallenge.com, or it's on Emory's site, actually. And the registration is from now until, Katie, when is it, Saturday?
Saturday.
Okay, so it closes Saturday night, right?
Yep, the 24th. Yep.
Okay. Okay. And okay, and so you can register over there if you're interested in doing this challenge. If you are not, just don't be listening to this episode. It'll just get on your nerves. We're just going to talk through the game we're about to play. Devin's going to tell you what the game, what the challenge is.
Okay, so just read from the website first.
Yeah, that's the quickest way to get the overview and then get into
it. Okay, what is it? That's the question. The 69 Challenge is a community-based physical and mental challenge developed by the band Emory for themselves. Sorry, did you
say something? I just said woo.
Oh, for themselves and their community of misfits and punks. It's for people who may have come to believe that they are too lazy to achieve their potential. For 69 days, we will work on improving our overall health by moving, creating, meditating, practicing, learning, resisting, reflecting, and anticipating. This challenge will help you to gain better control of your physical and mental habits in a sustainable way and to learn to trust yourself to intentionally build the future version of yourself. Motto is do what you do for future you.
Okay, excellent. Welcome to the 69X Challenge then.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you have already registered, that's great. If you do register, you're going to get an orientation packet that will have the scorecard, the documents, and that kind of stuff. And when you open it up and you'll see the rules, we're going to go over that now. So it's not all some people scrambling to understand them and ask a bunch of questions. So we'll just go ahead and go through it now. So the main core of this game is that for 69 days, we are going to commit to doing 8 things a day. So, and each X that you get is something you score on your scorecard, and that is work you're doing for your future self who at the end of the challenge will look back and see all those X's, everything you did, and be very appreciative. So the scorecard's laid out in that way, and the road to future you's paved with X's, we say. And so there's all these different lanes on that road. And so the first one is move. That's exercise. So can you read that in the orientation packet, Devin? Or the section above that, if these other two sections are worth reading, feel free.
On the landing page, sorry.
Yeah, it's like we got the what's the point, and here it says the 69X challenge is about shaping our habits and learning to better manage discomfort. By accepting this challenge, we are committing to a daily routine for the next 69 days. Of course, we'll experience failure, but we commit to having compassion for ourselves and to begin again after each and every setback. Okay, so Devin, now read the game part here, and we'll just go through it.
Okay. Your goal is to get as many X's as you can and to have your teammates do the same. The more X's you get, the better equipped future you will be to set and achieve whatever goals you choose. 69 days from now, future you will say, thank you for kicking so much ass, former self. The road to future you is paved with X's. Your scorecard is your map of that road and will serve as evidence of what you're capable of. That road has 8 lanes or areas of focus that you will engage every day. Each day you will do the following. Move. Okay. Oh, sorry, you want me to stop?
Yeah, first one's move, yeah.
Move, first one. 45 minutes of workout. Obviously, this can look different for each person, but the point is that it's 45 minutes of focused exercise pushing yourself physically.
Okay.
So that's the first one.
Does that one make sense? What do we think will count? What do you think questions people would have about that? This is the exercise portion. Is that a pretty straightforward definition?
I think so. I mean, I think after the last challenge, when we kind of had to clarify a few things, I think this is a little bit more clear this time.
Mm-hmm. It's me. Katie, how does it strike you?
I think that it pushing yourself means as long as you can feel it and your heart rate is up, then that counts.
Okay.
And I think that's pretty clear.
So for some people, that's walking, for instance. But it's not look at your watch if it says Fitbit said you had 45 minutes of activity that day. Do you say?
Right. I think it's focused, which you put focused minutes.
So if your Apple Watch says you move 45 minutes, you can't say, cool, I did it. That's a no.
Right.
Okay. Does it have to be 45 minutes all at once?
I don't think it needs to be.
I wouldn't think
personally.
So.
Okay, so you could split it up, but it's focused, timed exercise that feels like you're pushing yourself. So for some people, walking would not count. But that's up to you to kind of make that determination, basically, right?
Right.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I would say it could be multiple sessions. Because, you know, time is different for everybody, work, things like that. So, I mean, if I used to go for a short jog over my lunch, it might be 15, 20 minutes, but it's a jog and it is physical exercise. And then I work out for another 25 at home later.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's fair.
Yep. That sounds good. So that was what yours looked like. Katie, what kind of is your routine typically if you're doing 45 minutes? What would it be for you?
I was jogging and then I was doing some yoga. But I'm probably not going to do yoga this time. And so, I'm not going to run because running sucks.
Would yoga count for that? I mean, I'm not
trying to start
a debate or anything, but would it?
I mean, some of it would for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I think some of it would. But I guess it depends on what kind of yoga you do.
You would have to self-identify it as a very intense. I mean, you know what I mean? I know people say, oh, dude, you got to try yoga before you could say it's not harder than any workout you've ever done. Like, I know that. It must be true. So I'm allowing for it. But I'm saying that there's some yoga that where it just doesn't seem like it's really pushing yourself. I don't know.
Right.
My plan, and not to go too deep into it, but I'm going to try and wake up every morning pretty early. I'd like to do maybe like a 15-minute yoga session, and I don't think I'm going to count it towards because it's going to be, for me, it's going to be a little bit more of a warm-up, wake-up, stretch kind of thing. I'm not going to be intending to sweat a lot. I know I will just because. And then I'm going to do another 45 minutes later, but that's just because I kind of want to focus and kind of get that going, you know?
Yeah.
Could you count that as your meditate time? Like, would you count that?
I think I could if I, you know, as long as I'm right in the right headspace and everything.
Okay, yeah. So that brings us to the second category there, meditate. What's the definition? What does it say there?
Meditate, 10 minutes of prayer, meditation, mindfulness, or breath work.
Is there any other words you think fit in that category? But I think that's a pretty robust definition of things that, you know, it's mindfulness, the whole category. Meditate just kind of rhymed there with create.
right.
But it's mindfulness, 10 minutes of a mindful thing where you are clearing your mind or centering yourself and not doing something else or thinking through, so where you're not engaged in normal type of thought.
Right. Yeah, to me, it's probably a little bit more like intentional, intentional quiet time for me, because I don't have, I mean, most people probably don't, but I don't have really any quiet time. And if I do have quiet time, like after my kids are asleep or if I don't have work to do or something, it's mostly on my phone, which is stupid anyway. So
what would you typically do for 10 minutes?
What would I typically do?
Give me an example of this for you. What might you do next week for 10 minutes?
I'll probably, if I don't count it during my yoga time, then I'll probably probably just sit somewhere by myself, probably close my eyes and just either some, I might use an app, you know, sometimes I might pray a little bit sometimes, just breathe more. That's more for me, is just kind of like concentrating and try not to let my mind wander too much, you know?
Yep. Katie, what type of thing might you do?
Well, I wanted to get into meditation, but I tried it last time and I just couldn't get into it. So I might try it again, but I haven't really made a plan for the meditate. So I might try actual meditation and try using an app or something. But
Yeah, I think a lot of people are using the apps. I mean, and a lot of, there's a lot of them that are timed at 10 minutes. So you have some boundary or guide or something for that. And there's so many different styles of that you could almost just surf around till something feels right or fits the aesthetic you don't think is too goofy if you've never done it before. A lot of people use Headspace as one of the main apps for it. I use the Sam Harris's Waking Up app, and it's very good. It's got a bunch of different type of categories of things. So if you don't like this because it seems weird, but this Zen thing seems cool, or this other thing, they've got different lanes of that kind of stuff that it seems interesting to surf around in. But they're about 10 minutes long, or, you know, you could just use that for whatever time. But obviously it would be something where you weren't just sitting still for, I mean, yeah, you just sit still for 10 minutes and breathe would work. Just obviously not on your phone or something or some other activity going on.
Yeah. I think for me, I don't mind meditation. I did it last time and I think for everybody, for the most part, it's hard to keep your mind from wandering and really feel in it totally. But for me, I just feel like if I could just sit quietly and close my eyes and not look at a phone and not be talking to somebody or something, I feel like that's meditation.
Yeah, I think it is.
I mean, you know what I mean?
It is.
So yeah. I'll be something like that.
Yep, that'd be great. So create, this one is kind of new. We had some different categories last time, but this one is seems to be one that people really like or attracted to, and there's just no denying it in our space and group and audience and everybody else. It's creative people. I mean, there's no way around that. And I don't know anybody that doesn't wish they had a little more creative output for their anything, from side hustle to just personal. I think, you know, personal journaling is I wouldn't say it's the lowest form, but it's the simplest form that I just think anybody could do. Is you're actually creating something external that comes out of you that is not, you know, it comes from somewhere and it's unique what comes out. That's really fundamentally creating. It's just capturing something that's inside, outside. That's creating something, you know? So that seems like it's just endless amounts of ways that you could do that. But but sometimes it can feel crazy. So I thought 5 minutes would just be 5 minutes you can do, you know? It's not even 10 minutes. It's just in some way have output for 5 minutes. Does that sound reasonable? Is there something else you want to read the definition? You don't have to read that definition, but what it says in here, writing, music composition, drawing, design, journaling, or just capturing stream of consciousness. If you just wrote down right. whatever happened, which is similar to meditating almost. If you just go for meditating and your thoughts are runaway, you can't control them. Okay. Write them down for 5 minutes then. That's right. Then you'll have done something. And, yeah. you know, so that's what I'd suggest of one way to approach that if that seems overwhelming or intimidating. But do y'all have any other ideas of what people might create that's unique that I didn't have on this list or could count or not count?
I think that, I mean, covers most of it. I mean, I'm trying to think. I think it's a little intimidating for people who don't consider themselves a creative. But like you said, I mean, it doesn't really matter what you're creating mm-hmm. as long as you're just doing something, you know? So I think that covers most everything.
Mm-hmm. Katie, what are you planning on creating?
I have no idea. I have no clue. I mean, I don't know. I've dove into emails and doing that. So I was thinking like creating some sort of email flow would kind of be creating, right?
Or yeah.
can I not do that?
Yeah. You mean if it's so you say maybe designing original email customer flows, which is kind of an abstract yeah. concept, but I imagine you'd be externalizing it in sketches of things or something like that. You'd be, you know, like you'd be
right.
drawing it in some visual way and mapping something mm-hmm. out from your mind actively in an open associative kind of way, you know?
I mean, it's creating something.
Yeah,
it's
I think so. I think that's great.
Yeah.
But to me, that sounds really interesting and right up the alley of it because it's, you know, when you go to do it, you'll put your head in that creative space and then mm-hmm. you'll have a blank piece of paper and you'll try to draw it and you have to throw that one away and start again. And then something will be generated that did not exist before that was abstract and now is closer to becoming or is concrete. So that's right. exactly, I think that's perfect. That's great. And you could do different things every day. You just have to dedicate your mind to get into that state is what I think is fascinating and necessary about keeping that muscle ready. So it's not like mm-hmm. you have to do all emails or whatever that is, or just songwriting every day of the 69. You can do something different every day, but it's an intentional time that you spend to put yourself in that state. You can come up with something unique every day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
Devin, what are you going to do? Write music?
I mean, that'll be some of it for sure. I mean, yeah, I'll do that. I mean, I won't do it every day, but I'll probably do that at least a few days a week. I'll probably try and write. I always have things I want to, like stories and movie script ideas that I don't ever take the time to work on. So I'll probably try and work on a little bit of that. I like to draw. I just don't ever do it.
Yeah. Just do drawing with your kid for 5 minutes where you're very engaged with that. And I mean, that's instead of, you know, and there's nothing wrong with saying I'm doing something for work that's creative or, you know, to count that or not count it. That's not really the point. Like, you know, Devin and I have loads and lists of creative assignments and tasks that are on my plate every day. So I know there's always things that, I have a whole list of things that I have to enter that mind state to accomplish, basically.
Right.
But I don't necessarily do that every day. Sometimes I do it in chunks. Sometimes I procrastinate. But to actively create that space and then engage one of them fully, you know, that's a discipline that it takes my active effort to make sure I engage in. But also just use it for something silly that you would never do or something you just always dreamed of. You want to write a novel or, you know, try to do an improv game or something where you make something up. I mean, that might be a great way to use it outside of what you already had to do because a lot of people have creative work to do, and that's fine to use this for. But also something sillier can work. Practice. I think a lot of people are struggling with that concept because it sounds like do your piano lessons, right. You know. But and which is what I was thinking because that is what I am doing. I'm a piano scales, two hand scales arpeggio guy right now. So I'm,
yeah, that's a good thing to practice.
If I just sat there in 10 minutes and do two-hand arpeggios on the piano and with seventh chords, you know, it's like I can't,
yeah,
I can do it like right now, but I can't really do that on the piano. But if I did 10 minutes enough times, the way I do my hands like this, it would be doing piano chords up and down. And I'd never have to think or be creative or anything. It's just a matter of how many 10 minutes as I do.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll probably do something similar. I mean, because I've always, I mean, I can play the piano okay, but I always, it'd be fun to get a little bit stronger at it. I set a reminder on Alexa for my daughter who takes piano. So every day at 4:30, if that's possible, she practices for 10 minutes. And so I might even do the same. I might just say, Alexa, remind me, you know, right after that time, just go, and then it's my turn mm-hmm. to practice for 10 minutes. Or you have juggling on here, which is really funny because I like juggling. I actually enjoy it. So I might even practice juggling.
That would feel so good because if you did 3 days in a row for 10 minutes, you'd be like, by the end of that week, you'd be feeling like, hey, check us out.
I know.
Yeah.
What are you going to do with that, Katie?
Well, I was thinking juggling would be fun, but I also like the typing words per minute. I think that's kind of cool. If I can get my computer up and running, then I'll probably do that.
So I would say training is a word for this also. So it's something that you can just to do, engage in, you make improvement. So if you pick juggling, and that'd be great for anybody because if you don't know how to do it at all, you'll get noticeably really good, you know, because you go from zero to whatever. I mean, it would be a huge thing. It's same as if it's a golf swing or whatever. You can just pick one thing that you don't know and you'll really won't be a beginner in it. You'll go mm-hmm. past beginner level, even if you have no skill right now. So that's kind of a cool opportunity. Or the thing you already work on, you learn in the bagpipes. Okay. Just go ahead and squeal those things 10 minutes more a day and it'll help you and whatever. But, you know, so it could, but it really doesn't have to be music or anything. It could be, I don't know what the other ones are, but if you add it all up, 690 minutes is how much you're going to practice if you chose one thing and stuck to it.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
You don't have to stick to one though. You could rotate those two, those right, if you are into several different things.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. I think of it as just something where your mind is less engaged, but it's like, oh, it would be, you might say, oh, this is dull or boring. It might prevent some people from doing this, but to know that you could really be able to see and count on the output, know you're helping your team and earning an X and earning cryptocurrency and not letting your team down. And you're going to get all that in. I think that really might make some people do stuff that they otherwise would say, it's boring or not going to make a difference if I do it today. Yeah. Learn 10 minutes of reading. And I have it here as focused on acquiring new knowledge. And so somebody else already asked the question of what's going to qualify as that? But so, obviously people are saying reading, kind of read fiction.
So I'm not sure how that would work. Acquiring new knowledge.
Learn is the category. The state of being able to learn something is what, you know, that is what I have in mind for it. But I don't know to say that you can't have that with fiction, you know.
Right.
I think that's legitimate. But also I think there's a type of pure entertainment where you don't think of it as learning. So
I think that it could be fiction, but I think that you just need to use your own discretion. If you know that you're going to be learning something from it, then go for it. But fiction or not,
like if you knew what it was that you were like, maybe even could identify why you're reading Tolstoy or something, like then you'd be, of course you're learning or whatever. Mm-hmm. Nonfiction's great or biography's great, you know, they're taken in, even just reading a story, fiction or nonfiction, you know, that is one of the main ways that we learn. But I would just say if you're mindful of what might it be that you're trying to learn, and then whatever approach you take, it just do it with reading. And I guess I would go as far as to say audiobook could count. But I would think for the same rule would apply. It would be like paying attention to it and for the goal of, you know, intensifying your knowledge about something to, you know, be really engaged with the taking it in, to gain something is the mindset there. That so it's a learning mindset more over a pure entertainment one. But I think I would allow audiobook or read a book, fiction or nonfiction, biography, story. All those things probably could work.
Devin, do you agree with the audiobook? Because I completely disagree.
Well, some people hate to read physical books, and I'm one of them, and I'm going to make myself read a physical book personally.
You already took the water out for you. You can't take the book out for you, too.
Okay, we'll make it we'll just say it's a hard rule then. We make a hard rule that you, even if you have a learning disability and can't read, you still have to do it. And that's just that.
I mean, I'm kind of in between you guys, I guess, because if it was read, that would be one thing. If the category was read, that's something. But the category is learn. And if you're learning by reading or listening, I feel like that's acceptable. But I understand why that could be a bit of a gray area.
Use the category as learn and make sure you know what you're learning and that you want to do it. Not say, oh, I learn when I'm hanging out at the park. You know,
right.
Don't do that. But know what it is that you're learning and do it for 10 minutes.
But then we should do 10 minutes. If you want to do it through books, 10 minutes of focused acquiring new knowledge through books, whether it's audiobooks or not. But you do have reading down.
Yeah.
Audiobooks is not right. Reading.
But it doesn't, I mean, I would be fine with reading a good blog by an economist here. Would be fine on the mobile device. That would work.
But that's
for me.
Still reading.
Yeah.
So I assume the podcasts don't count, right?
Yeah, I mean,
you're learning.
But I mean, I listen to the Huberman podcast now and I learn an unreal amount.
Yeah.
So I mean, that is learning, but if that's fine, if that's not what it is, but I just want to know because people are going to ask that.
Yeah, that is a really good question. Let's just try to figure out a good way to resolve it here. Is it more about, I mean, but that's, you know, 10 minutes isn't very much of that style. That's like saying I learn by having conversations with people or something.
Well, I mean, 10 minutes is not very much
focused,
of,
you know.
Well, 10 minutes is not very much of reading really either. I mean, it might be few pages of something.
Yeah.
I'm not, I mean, you know what I mean? Like if you're learning, you're not going to be just speeding through a, you know, I don't know.
You would learn more through an audio book for 10 minutes than you would reading. But so I guess it just depends on what the goal is. Is it to learn or is it to make yourself read?
Let's go back to the evolution of it. It came from read physical books. Like, so first of all, there's a preference on the move part that it's outdoors as well. That's a preference. That's not going to be strict, but you know, it's better to be outdoors and moving, for instance. That's
right.
That's a belief and you can figure that out. To engage a physical book is what we have in mind. That was what it came from, is to get a book and look at it. Like, we don't do that anymore. Right. And so let's just focus this learn more in the territory of read with your eyes. Let's just, if somebody has a real reason not to do that, okay, you know, talk to your team, talk to your group, make sure it makes sense to everybody and it's not being silly, and that's fine if you have to make some modification. But the intent would be grab a physical book on a subject, topic, or even if it's fiction, that you're interested in, and you know, engage that for 10 minutes by reading the old school way, if as much as possible. Sound good?
Sounds good.
Yeah. Okay. Next one's easy. It's resist. If only it was that easy, though, you know, because it's the only one that you have to do at every moment of the day. There's not for 10 minutes, but it's 24/7. This one is.
Oh, man.
So.
The alcohol part isn't hard for me. The sweets part is hard. The sweets part is hard for me. So it's different for everybody, I guess.
And this came from the diet. Last time it was more of have your own diet that you stick to. But even bringing in the topic of diet is so personal or deep and has so much triggeriness with certain people. And, you know, it's just to get into diet is not really what it's about. It's more about being aware of what you're doing and being able to handle the discomfort of saying, I want something, I need this. No, I'm going to say no to that, which you can apply to diet or whatever, but it's not about what people eat here. But we know that booze and sweets are something like super stimulants that actually give us that thing where we crave them. And so to actively go, I'm not going to say yes to something I'm craving. I'm here. I'm uncomfortable. But I'm going to sit with that. That's really
right.
The point. And you people can apply that to their diet if they like in whatever way. But it's not really about anybody's diet or caloric intake or health. It's really just about, we're just going to use booze and sweets of it. Can you prove to yourself that you can resist that? So just don't. That doesn't really affect much, you know. And it, right. Of course, this is one of those areas where I think there will be some of the most, you know, slip-ups or accidents or failures, or where people are going to want to beat themselves up still. So not because it's not hard, because if you're used to booze and sweets, it's going to be very hard. You know, it's going to be very hard, but you can do it. And this is the one where it's most important. If you mess it up, you just start again, right? It's you just start over again. That's fine.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? This is not at all an all or nothing thing. And the worst thing you could do would be try and fail and then use that negatively against yourself. And so that's the, you know, that's the main thing to avoid. So that's why this one has generated the this is really where the impetus comes for the floating X, which is the fun part of this, is that if you get X's 7 days in a row in a category, you earn a floating X that you can use for a day off, a cheat, a skip, or whatever in any category that you want to. And I don't think that that will be everybody's necessarily mindset of how to use that. There's a lot of people who go into the mode of, well, I need to do it every day because if I do a cheat or skip a day or whatever, then it's harder the next day. So I not like to just stay on the train. So that'll be a lot of people's approach. But if you're the person that needs one break day just so you can know what it's whatever it is and you can handle that, then this is a great way to feel good about it is to earn it. And then use it and then space that out. And you can use them however you want. You could save two or three up if you had a trip coming or something like that. I don't think you should be able to. I don't know if there's any kind of system to borrow them in advance. I think that's not really wise. But I do think it's reasonable for them to be fungible, meaning your team members could donate them to you. So if you had somebody that just liked working out every day, and there's somebody that's going on a trip, plane ride all day, is not going to get to exercise, and they're having a hard time, you could donate that X to that person in that area, and that would be fine. So, you know, I know if, Katie, you have a trip scheduled, for instance, right?
Yeah, next Thursday, we're leaving for Vegas.
Okay, so you won't have had time to really earn X's. How do you feel about that, or is there some way that that could work out? Or you just don't receive, you know, you already understand that you're going to lose those X's, for instance.
I already understand that I'm going to lose those X's. I mean, I think some four sweets for sure.
Uh-huh.
Sweets for sure. And probably booze. But I mean, like I talked to you before, I do feel a little bad being in a group and I just have to how does all that work? Can you go into that really quick?
About what specifically?
Like, do scores, like when I miss something, does it impact my group?
When you miss something, well, yes, the groups are going to have each week the amount of X's that the groups have, you know, are competing against the other groups. So that will be the setup of how the groups compete. So you'll have a cumulative amount that your group gets with all of these things, plus the weekly extra challenges that we'll throw in. Which will be announced the week of, and that your team will have a total amount of X's. And the top 50% of teams will all win prizes. So all you got to do is make sure your team is in the top half and your team gets something each week which is pretty exciting. So I'm not going to go through all the amounts because we haven't set the exact budget and stuff like that. But we're going to be giving out, you know, at least a couple $1,000s of cash prizes. Well, it'll be in Walls coin value, but equivalents. The budget will be something like that at least. And then we'll get that. It'll feel like a March Madness kind of pool each week. So, you know, the top team might get $10 a piece, like $100 or whatever, something like that. Don't hold me to those numbers, but that would be the idea. And then the other top 50% teams get some prize in a way that comes down, for, you know, and the 50% people, you know. So you're winning money back that you paid to do the challenge. If your team's in the top half every week, you're earning back a good amount of what you paid just to do the challenge, basically. So we're using a lot of the money. The money, part of the money is just to have buy-in, so people have skin in the game, and then you can win it back and kind of compete and move it around. So the whole thing's like a big poker night with everybody where other people, you know, it's kind of like a March Madness pool or something like that. So that'll be the nature of the groups. So I think that I can't think of a way to go back in time if you earned X's and then put them back in retroactively, like if it was like a vacation plan or anything. So it probably is going to have to be, if your trip's in the first week, that's too bad. But by the end of the first week, if your team is doing good, you may, and somebody has a trip, you might could already help them out. Like, you know,
right.
So, yeah. But if it literally is in the very first week, then that's just kind of unfortunate, and your team may not have quite as many X's, but I don't think they'll hold that against you. And I think you will still do everything you can to get every X you can while you're on your trip. And if you're not able to fully resist the whole time and you lose an X here or there, then you just, that's okay. Everybody understands that. So.
Yeah, I think so. And I don't think the team thing, I think the team thing this time will be better, and it'll be a little bit more, what am I trying to say? It'll be competitive, but not like insanely competitive, which I think's
yeah. Last time we had like winner take all style prizes and two teams. So it was it was a very good natured, but it was a very good natured version of a more of a tribal type vibe.
Right.
Like a Clemson and game football rivals. It was a little bit more of that. And this year is going to be a little bit more like summer camp tribes, team, you know, all at the same camp with their own name or whatever. It'll be that kind of thing is the way I look at it, like the different groups or something at a summer camp. So, and there'll be more prizes distributed and more often. So that'll be that way. So let's go through a couple more things, and we won't waste too much more time. But I think people are getting a pretty good view of it. This ought to help people. So can you read, Devin, consistency points?
Consistency points. Let me go down. Okay. Each perfect week in any lane, any category, earns a bonus X, floating X, to be used later as you see fit, but only in that same category. It can be used at any time and can be stored up and used for a special occasion, such as a weekend trip you have planned. Additionally, team members may donate any accumulated X's to their team members, but again, must be used in that distinct category.
Yeah. Okay. So thanks for going through that. Weekly challenge. Each week we'll have a unique personal or team challenge with its scoring and details announced each week on the 69 Rewind show. So I just said that too. What are some of the ones we did last time? We did the, I don't know, I want to give them away. You know, if I don't even want to freak people out with what they were. Some of them are fun. We did,
I think that was probably the highlight.
Get up early. You know, one of them was, I don't want to scare anybody off. Let's do squats. Yeah, every
toilet you use squats.
The toilet and stuff like that. But these are fun things that push you out of some minor comfort zone in a fun way. Sometimes they're extra physical. Sometimes they're not physical. But they're things that, they're fun. They're fun and sometimes a little bit wacky. And we'll have a different amount of points that they're worth or X's for your team each week. Or we'll figure out how to make that interactive. The other two things that were lanes there are the reflect and anticipate, and those are both just little forms or sheets that you'll fill out that'll be in the orientation packet to reflect on the, and that's based on the fact that overall here, the three main ways to really you engage something is to look forward to it, organize that work, you know what it is, be aware of it. Then you engage the thing and do it. And then you later reflect on it to gain the wisdom and takeaways from it. That's how, you know, those are the three cognitive modes with which we engage anything fully. And so just to look at your day, from that day and see how it went and think about that just for a couple of minutes, is going to be helpful. And then you sleep on it and your mind can unpack that or whatever. And, to anticipate, to look ahead and already know what's important about tomorrow and, or identify that and not just kind of check out and go to bed without, you know, to go ahead and put your mind on what comes tomorrow. You wake up with that extra, that's what it'll take to get the most out of this. So there's little sheets that you fill out, have a couple of questions, or you write down your priorities or stuff like that. But just for filling out those sheets, which doesn't take, it might take you 2 minutes, really. You know, you could spend longer on it if you wanted to, but it's just take a few minutes at the end of the day, and then you get X's for that too.
Cool.
So, and then the teams will be about 8 people, and we're going to meet on Sunday night for the 69 Rewind show. That'll be something like this, where we might have a different person on and talk about their week. We'll give announcements, give updates, talk about the teams, the score. We'll do that all in a live stream. And then we're going to figure out whatever way to do it to break out. And that, you know, maybe do 30 minutes of general and then 30 minutes of the teams talking about their week or looking ahead or checking their scores or talking about what their strategy is going to be. So basically some format like that. And we're going to try. And so for Sunday nights, your team attendance there, you'll get X's for that too. So the weekly challenge, any other things we add, there's ways to get more than just getting your perfect days and your perfect weeks and stuff like that. So the final scoring, the details will be there, but that's just a basic gist of everything. If some people, especially somebody said they were in Australia, they can't make the Sunday night rewind show middle of the night on Monday for them or something like that. But that's fine. But you might just get one less X in your group. You might just have to live. You might just have to live with that, you know. Or maybe it's like it's a tape thing you can watch or catch up. Or we'll see if we can figure out a way around that. But none of this can be totally perfect. But we do want to. Just to show up to that, to do the rewind on Sunday night, connect with your team. That's a move it forward positive thing that I think will pay off. So we're going to pay X's for it.
Yeah. And I think that's something that maybe if there's, you know, outstanding circumstances as far as like someone in a different country, time didn't work out, where I think we're going to try to post the 69 rewind in Pillar.
Mm-hmm.
Like at least the podcast, maybe yeah, even the video or something like that. And then maybe they could even work out with their team to have the actual meeting earlier.
Yep.
Or later. You know what I mean?
We can work all that out. We'll do the best we can. But some X's people can't get. Nobody's going to be perfect, and we don't want it to be perfect. And so it's going to be fine. You can make it up, you know, in whatever other ways if you miss a couple. There's a lot. The total amount of X's is a lot. So you don't have to get them all.
Right.
Not exactly that, but certain weeks you'll just, you know, you may know that you're not likely to place as high or get as much of a payout on a certain week. That's okay. That's all I'm saying. You know what I mean?
Yes.
That's totally reasonable.
Yeah, I agree.
I have a question. So when you get an X for showing up to the team meeting, that's an individual X. It's not a team X, right? Like, not everybody has to show up in order for everybody to get X. If you show up, you get an X.
I think the best way to do it is that the scorecard will probably have it that way if it works out right. Just to everybody gets an X, and that'll just add to their cumulative. The team doesn't need its own scorecard. The team's X's can be distributed and scored out in an extra box. There'll be an extra box for the weekly stuff that is not the daily stuff. Basically, and it'll be custom each week. Like, you'll fill it out and say this week's challenge value was 30 X's for the team, and everybody gets 2 or whatever it is. I don't know. It'll be, the details will be there, and you'll have a place to record your bonus X's that are not in the normal 8 lanes.
Right.
And that's how they'll be turning in their cards. They'll
show
they won't
up
be setting a test.
They'll be showing up as cumulative points for their team in the end. Yeah.
Cool.
Maybe there's a bonus if it's perfect attendance. I don't know, but I don't think so. We'll just keep it simple. Like, it's just a simple, you just get an X for being there. That's all.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not, you know, I'm not whining or making any excuses here, but so we're going to Seattle tomorrow, which will be great and creative and all that. Toby and I take a red-eye flight home Sunday night.
Mm-hmm.
So Monday morning is the start of the challenge, and we'll probably have a few hours of sleep. You know, it'll just be all, you know how you feel after those things. It's just terrible. Yeah. So, and then I'll immediately be, have to be home with my kids all day and everything. And then I have to ship out a whole bunch of stuff for the for those two nights. And then we're going to South Carolina for my sister's wedding on Wednesday.
Oh my gosh. That's a brutal start. So
the
for
first
you.
Week will be a little rough, but I'm going to, you know, I'm going to push myself hard, but I'm just going to be like, oh my, the first week's going to be the worst. And then it gets going to get better after that. So I'm excited about that at least.
Well, you already shit on your team. They'll be sad, sad to get you. But you're going to get a lot of X's. So your team overall will be getting a good X getter, I think.
Well, I appreciate that, man.
I think you're a good X getter, Devin. You got a lot of points last year, and you'll do great.
I mean,
this time.
I beat him last year, so I don't know how great he was.
Well, you're going to be a good asset to your team, too. You're going to add a lot of X's. I believe that. So,
well, let's make one of the categories, you know, starting a brand new computer.
Yeah.
Let's see who wins at that.
Fuck you,
one.
Devin.
No, I was going to take that part off the podcast. I wasn't going to.
Sorry.
I wasn't. And you might have thought that I set you up for that, Katie, but no, I wasn't. I'm not rolling it there from there.
All right, we'll cut that out.
We were making fun of Katie earlier for being slow to set up a new computer, but she was very slow. How long has it been since you got the computer?
I did that around you guys are doing the Encores.
Mm-hmm. So more than a
month. So about a month and a half, 2 months ago. Okay. Yeah.
So I'll skip the part where we made fun of you about that at the beginning, but we'll leave that.
You had to FaceTime me to plug it in, to plug it in.
Yeah, you still need more help. So, okay, we'll get it.
Yeah. Okay.
You'll get some motivation soon. Everybody's going to feel good, sleep good. You know, you're going to enjoy your good meals and your good sleep. So, people will be doing not cheap meals, but, you know, people have a tendency to kind of blow it out this week coming up, and that's normal. Go ahead and get you a few extra Cadbury eggs you got left over from Easter. Do what you got to do.
We need to remind people to do the survey.
Okay. So the Kairos survey.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So you should have gotten or will get an email for the Kairos Cognition, who's partnered with us. Frank Sopper was on the podcast a while back, and they have a test developed that's just very insightful, that really gets at how your mind works in some unique ways. There's good information there, and some of it is talks about how you approach movement and getting your body moving and stuff like that. And we're going to use those tests so you have some insight about yourself and can begin to think about yourself that way, but also to make the groups. We're going to it's interesting to have the data from what kind of people choose to do a challenge like this and how different people with different profiles approach it. So there's a little bit of experimentation there that we'll be able to learn from about our group and what we're like and make good group pairings. So please do that survey if you have time. There's a free version of it. There's a paid version that exists, but you don't need to do the paid version, just the plain old free version. And Kairos is kind of helping us design this challenge and got some stuff they do, you know, way into the mind and the brain and the analytics of people and, you know, useful stuff. So they've been helpful for us to shape it so we can, you know, can get our behaviors even better. So we're learning as we go and modifying it. So you may hear more from them later, but do that challenge, do that survey in advance so that we can get the teams as cool as we can get them. What else?
And there's a short questionnaire in the welcome email. I think a lot of people were confused and didn't know the welcome email was the welcome email because it's named What Did I Get Myself Into? but in that, there's a short questionnaire about what their confidence level is. So we're using that and the survey.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to try to put people of different varying confidence levels in the same group. So there'd be somebody that has a high confidence that they're going to do well and somebody lower and have a gradient of that in each group. So each group will have, it won't be a group of all the people that are the most confident or score the highest in this thing or another thing like that. We're going to get the groups nice and balanced in a way that they'll make good teams. It will be is the goal. So if you do both of those things, do the Kairos survey and the confidence question in your welcome email. And the subject of that was, what did I get myself into?
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. Anything else?
I think that's it.
They need to sign up for the Rally account.
Yep. I don't put the link. We'll put the link in the things here to find out about the coin, but our crypto coin walls, the ticker is walls, and it's on the Rally network, and everybody who earns any X's, those are worth real value in that coin. So every X you earn, you're going to earn some fractional amount of a walls coin for that X. And on top of prizes that will be paid out in that, they have a real cash value that you could cash out of eventually or use to buy Emery stuff or other things that we come up with as we launch this coin and its economy. And so that to get that, you just need an account. It was easy to do. You thought, Katie, right? You can't even get your computer set up, but you got your Rally account. Pretty, you said it was easy.
Yep. I bought walls and it was much easier than hooking up my computer. But are you able to send it to people who haven't purchased? Account, or
you have to make an account and we could send it to people who haven't purchased, but I think
if they have an account, as long as we know their account name or Twitch or whatever.
If that turns out not to be true, it might be a technicality that you have to
own some.
It was something like the easiest way to do it is some way where maybe like you own some and you send one and you get back two or something, but don't overcomplicate. Just make the account, and I don't think you have to buy any. No, that's not, this isn't a scam to get you to, it's not a scam, right? First of all, in any way, but it's just to have the account. You have to have, so that we can send it to you, but you don't have to put anything in here. It's not intended to make you have to spend money at all. Of course, it's right. I want people to be able to earn back the money they paid just to be in the challenge. I want people's goal to be to get their money back and then some, you know.
Right.
But the way we'll distribute it throughout the challenge will be an Emery coin, which you can cash out of also. Yes. I think I'm saying that all correctly. If not, whatever.
Yeah, I think so. Do. Yeah, there's value in it, you know, just for people to understand. You can, like you said, you can hold it. You can use it within the Emery community, probably even Bad Christian community to some degree, depending on what we have and what we release along the way. And then also, again, you can cash it out. You can put it in Ethereum. You can get cash money, whatever you want to do. But it's flexible, and I think it's a cool thing. So,
yep. And if you don't want any, you don't have to take any from us. But if you earn X's, you have some coming your way. That's all.
Yeah.
All right. Y'all enjoy the rest of your weeks. Gearing up for it, and we'll see everybody Sunday night.
All right.